Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We're going to be talking to Jamie Anatello tonight, a Christian mother of eight, whose baby who could have been killed when the radical left mob Antifa threw a flash bomb in the direction of the child's face. She's on tonight to speak out against the mainstream media's failure to cover the violence that has plagued Portland for so long. A year ago, a man was shot dead in the street and murdered in Portland. The media continues to turn a blind eye, but not here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Mayor Ted Wheeler is weak and spineless and allows them to get away with anything. Despite that, they still hate him and chased him out of his apartment building to the point of relocating. He has handcuffed the police officers in the city from handling this mob and keeping them in jail. They just constantly keep getting arrested time and time again and re-released back into society with little consequences. We've seen this theme time and time again in New York City, Seattle, and all of these far left-wing cities across America, and it is getting old. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. I think that tonight's topic is very timely. It amazes me how you have these woke liberals, white liberals. As Van Jones once said, we should be more concerned about the white liberals that are voting for Hillary Clinton than they are concerned with conservatives. But of course, they paint conservatives as being white supremacists. We're not white supremacists. When you look at the left, at the Democrat Party, you'll find that their entire platform, all of their party leaders, have some type of association with white supremacy. Albeit they have renounced it and said that they've made a change. I don't think so. Look at our current president. Oh my God, I can't believe I said president. I stand corrected. Look at the current resident in the White House. Some of the inflammatory remarks that he has made about Black people. If you don't vote for him, you're not Black. Barack Obama, nice looking fella. He's very articulate. And the list goes on and on and on. Back in the 80s, he said that he didn't want his kids going to school with Blacks, that it was a jungle, that he was afraid for his mom and wife and daughter to walk out on the streets. The current resident in the White House made these comments. He said the same thing about Indian Americans, going to 7-Eleven stores. But yet and still, he has directed the military to make certain that everyone is caught up to date on their diversity training. He's also made certain that his Secretary of State reach out to the UN to do an investigation as to how racist America is. This is all window dressing, but it is designed to put us against each other. Every day we look in the paper and you have stories of Black people saying, we were attacked by this white person and this happened and that happened and this and that. And all this goes on and on and on. And then the icing on the cake, the group that they love to bring up, the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys. The Proud Boys did this. The Proud Boys did that. To be honest with you, when I first heard the group, I didn't know if they were the good guys or the bad guys. But little did I know, for the left, the Proud Boys were the bad guys. They were white supremacists. Never mind that the leader of the group, the president of the group, is Afro-Cuban. Oh, doesn't matter. They're still racist. Antifa? Oh, they're just truth seekers. Then why the heck are they dressed in black, with their faces covered and only their eyes peering out? But they're good and they're on a mission to destroy the spring and summer of 2020, the riots, the bombing, the destruction. Now enter BLM, the BLM protesters. Oh, they're self-righteous and they're good and they're trying to help everybody and they want everyone to know that Black Lives Matter. Well, if your Black Lives Matter, why don't you go and tell that to the Black Lives in Chicago? Look around you. The other day, the FBI, I think it was, or someone came out with a report saying hate crime is on the rise, and they love talking about hate crimes. What they don't tell you is that half of the cases that they're reporting, when you go back and they investigate, it was all a lie. It was either a black person hanging a noose, think Bubba Wallace, not that he did it, hanging a noose where a noose shouldn't be, or a white liberal writing the word, and I'm going to say it, nigger, on some door, only to find out that they wrote the word. But they want to say, white supremacists, it's Trump supporters. Folks, we got to wake up. We can no longer allow them to lie to us and to weave the story of destruction. It's ridiculous. So it brings us to where we are today. I was reading in the paper and watching TV, a group in Portland having a prayer service, a Christian group. And of course, when you mention Christians to the left, that's almost as if though you're showing a vampire, garlic, or the cross, because they go berserker when they hear anything about Christians. Now, you can talk about Muslims, you can talk about atheists, you can talk about devil worshipers all day long, and they will yuck it up. Oh, they feel good. Look at Harvard. Harvard just appointed an atheist as their chaplain. But Christianity? Oh, gosh, no, we don't want to hear that. We don't want that here. So again, Portland, Oregon, a group gathering together to fellowship, to pray. We all need prayer. What happens? Well, Antifa decides to come along and wreak havoc on the group. I think there might have been a member of BLM, but little did they know that this time they were messing with the wrong person. And her name, Jamie Antonella. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
So if you can, just walk us through, what was the day like? What were you thinking?
This was a day we were going to listen to a pastor that we know personally. I believe the event was called Courageous Faith. Pastor Arthur Pulaski is from Canada, and he has been victim of fascism in his own country, and came down to encourage the saints and give his testimony. And my husband, he is known well as the Black conservative preacher on social media platforms. He's been covering live stream the riots and for the last, well, when they first started last year, and also has been dealing with Antifa face-to-face for many years now, because he is a street preacher. So even sharing the gospel, I mean, you hit it nail on the head. Antifa is absolutely anti-God. And so he's been dealing with Antifa for years now. That morning when we went to listen to Pastor Arthur Pulaski, the event hadn't started yet. We were introducing ourselves, meeting new people, when all of a sudden an explosion happened to my left, about, I'd say, 20 to 30 feet. And that caused me to look to the right from where the bomb came from. And I see Antifa dressed in black block marching into the park, chanting Hail Satan. And they continued rapid fire. They started throwing eggs and rocks and water bottles filled with human feces or animal feces, whatever. They like to use bodily fluids, which is absolutely disgusting. Paint and pepper gas, and they threw another explosive, and that was the one that almost hit my daughter, if not for a friend, Julie, who put her hand in front of her face and took the impact, and she actually sustained quite a few injuries on her arm, her hands, and her feet. And she was, just to give you an idea of what was in, because Antifa makes their own bombs, so just to give you an idea of what this bomb consisted of, not only did she have bruising, but she had a welt that formed almost immediately, about the size of an egg on her arm. She also had blisters and extreme burning.
Oh my gosh.
And it was not just on her arm and her hand, but also was on her leg and her feet. So it spread. So when she went to reach around my daughter's face, she absorbed all of that. And I can't even imagine what would have happened if it actually hit my daughter's face. And it went all the way to her bone. So she's still dealing with that injury today.
And how old is she, your daughter?
She's 8 months old.
Oh, these cruel, vicious animals.
Absolutely. There's nothing more than that. And while this was all going on, one man was yelling, "Where's your God now?" Then
wait a minute. He was yelling, "Where's your God?"
Yes, they actually yelled. One man in red shorts and a white shirt, I'll never forget him. He yelled, screamed, "Where's your God now?"
And they weren't even invited to this peaceful event. They just showed up to create havoc.
Yeah, they're never invited. But if they were actual anti-fascism, then this would have been the event for them to actually participate in. And we tried reasoning with him in that way. Like, you say you're anti-fascist. This man is definitely a victim of that. You know, listen to what he has to say. Let's, you know, we were trying to reason with them, but they didn't care because that's not really what they're all about. They're just about domestic terrorism.
No, were you terrified? I mean, this just came out of nowhere. And I know you said that your husband is a street preacher, but you're a mom and your 8-month-old child, your baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the video and I thought, wait a minute, you don't poke mama bear. You don't mess with a person's kid.
Yeah. So it's kind of this weird line between I am viciously angry at them because it's been years of dealing with them. They've been trying to get my husband fired for many years now from his job. My husband's come home before with broken equipment and friends have been bleeding and stuff like that. So I'm in this middle of this viciously angry, but I'm also not scared of anything. So it's almost like not only do they mess with me as a mother and my cubs, but they also mess with the wrong person because I'm a child of God and I'm not afraid of them. And that's really what led to the press conference crash, because the Lord decided, you know, if the local news isn't going to listen, then he was going to take care of it and let millions hear the story. And that's really what drove me, was the Lord giving me that boldness to go out there and finally tell the truth that people needed to hear.
And that's what we need out there, because as you said, the media is there, but they'll look the other way because they're looking for the Proud Boys. They don't care. They don't care about a mother and her babies being harmed.
Right. And it's that's really, you know, a lot of my frustration was stemmed from that. And you see that in the press conference when I'm talking to Teresa Rayford, which was the only Black woman who was there, who tried to come up and immediately pander to me. And you saw my frustration in saying, it's not the Proud Boys. You guys need to give up that obsession. It's an obsession. And that's what it's come. That's what it's become, is the Proud Boys are their scapegoat to lay all of this violence and this destruction on, because so many people in the city of Portland support Antifa, which was what that press conference was. It was an Antifa, you know, Proud Boys hit piece is what it was.
It's unbelievable that this is happening. And you have our elected officials, as Andrew said, Ted Wheeler, who kowtows to them. And then they attacked him. As the Bible said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, because they will soon be cut down. So he, by his own hand, allowing this to continue and to fester, he was cutting himself down because of his own wrongdoings.
Absolutely. I never once felt sorry for him, and I still don't feel sorry for him. He's absolutely spineless.
Look around at all of these big cities that are headed by liberals, allowing this to happen. Look at Minnesota. Look at what happened there.
Yeah, you know, those are weaklings. Those are absolute weaklings. And we don't have space for those kind of people. We need people who are strong and willing to stand up to these people with a boldness, because this should not be happening. They're terrorizing citizens.
But it was interesting when the lady with the pink hair, you just read her like a book. She didn't want to hear any of it because she wanted you to see. And I find this so amazing how these white liberals want to tell Black people how we should feel, and that we don't know that we're a victim. So they have to stand out in proxy for us and let us know you're a victim. You just don't know it. And we're here to save you. I'm like, no, how racist does that sound? You're here to save me? Really?
Yeah, they are. She made that very easy because they're predictable. And that's what happens on a daily basis. It just so happened to get on camera that day. I didn't have to set that up. That wasn't a production. That was her living.
It was priceless.
Yeah.
It was priceless. Go ahead.
And that's just the thing. I hope you don't have listeners who are easily offended, but you know, white liberals don't openly, I mean, they are openly racist, but they're not openly racist to where they're they're hanging people and burning castles and houses, but they actively call us niggers, which means ignorant. They actively call us niggers every time they tell us that we're not competent or capable enough to know the people around us, know what actual white supremacy looks like, work hard, do the things that, you know, we want to do, succeed in life, enjoy our freedom. They say that we can't do any of that, that they're openly racist in such a disgusting way, and because they call it helping, like they really think that there are saviors.
They're not our saviors. And you said you hope we have any listeners that are offended. Look, here on After Dark, we tell it like it is. And that is a reason why it comes on After Dark. And if anyone is offended, so be it. But the truth has to be told. We speak the truth in love on After Dark. And I want people to understand what's happening. Because as you said, they always think that we want to save you. But then they will go and say something else. When you look, when people say, oh, there's systemic racism, I'm like, okay, fine. I don't believe in it. But let's just say that there is. Who controls entertainment? Liberals. Who controls a lot of the political scenes? Liberals. Who controls corporations? Liberals. Everywhere you look, liberals. They have created, or they created a system of separation, segregation, and stereotypes. And now they want to look at it and say, oh, it wasn't us, it was them. No, it was you, because it started with Jim Crow. You guys started it. You are the party of racism. Look at Antifa. How many members of Antifa were arrested during the spring and summer of 2020? Oh, there were quite a few, but you know what? They got out. Why did they get out? They got out with no charges, not a blemish on their record. But then you look at January 6th, some of those individuals are still in jail. Still in jail, go figure. But Antifa, Black Lives Matter, they can burn down an entire city, an entire town, and no one says absolutely nothing. Attack a mother and her children. You were there on TV screaming, and your kids. I'm like, wait a minute. No one's going to go and help her? They're not listening? And it was almost as if though they were trying to shut you down. This should not be happening in America, land of the free. But yet and still, you found yourself there. How do you keep going, Jamie? You have the love of God. You seem to be a strong believer, a strong Christian. And we need more Christians that are out there, not afraid of the gospel, not afraid to stand up and be counted and speak the truth. Have you always been this way?
Yes. Yes, I have. I mean, I didn't come to know salvation until I was, you know, 30 years old, but and I wasn't raised with a faith of any kind, but once the Lord got a hold of me, this has been my way of life. I don't let anything have control over me so that the enemy can't use anything against me. And I really believe that cultivating life with courage is so important, because fear is going to be there, but courage is taking that step forward despite the fear. And that's where the victory comes from. And that's how I live my life.
Jamie, we talked briefly before the show about why you're still in Portland. It is such a beautiful area. You want to tell the audience what you do like about the area so much that you will not allow this radical left-wing mob to chase you and your family away.
Yeah, you know, I was born, both me and my husband and I were born and raised here. So we're looking at 40 plus years of enjoying the God's country. I mean, we've got the coast, we've got the mountains, we've got amazing rivers, we've got hiking. There's so much around here, and it's so, it used to be an amazing place to live. And I guess that's what keeps us here. And also wanting to see God back here again. Because when you come into Portland, I think a lot of people can attest to the fact that you can sense a heaviness around this area now, a darkness, because it's changed so much. We have so many liberals who moved into this area. And I'm not exactly sure whether it's just technology and the online space that, you know, let our secret out, but so many liberals have flocked here from other states that it's changed so much, and it's become largely anti-God. And I guess we just want to see the people return to God again.
How long has your husband been a street minister?
About 8 years or so. My son and him they go to the club districts, sports games, events. We've got naked bike rides around here. And when I say naked bike rides, I literally mean people are naked riding their bike through our city and our towns and our neighborhoods. It's absolutely crazy.
You don't see that everywhere.
No, you do not. But Portland is definitely a place that you will see it. Women's marches, every event possible where the where crowd will gather and the gospel can be shared, he's attended. So that's our mission at the end of the day.
It's to spread the word of God to those who don't have it, to the hopeless, to those that are without faith, and they don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. God is eternal. The love of God is forever. And I think that a lot of them, especially Antifa, a hateful group, they're only out to destroy. If they only had peace in their hearts, you look at Black Lives Matter, they're missing the peace, the love of God. Salvation is nigh. And all you have to do is accept the love of God, because Amen. All this other stuff will fade away. The hatefulness, want to be seen, these alternative lifestyles that people are talking about, teaching our kids all this crazy stuff. Look at our schools. I don't know if critical race theory has hit your school system there, if your kids are in public schools, but you have all of this stuff that's bombarding our kids on a daily basis. And the enemy is after the kids. As the Bible says, we don't fight a war of flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. We have to have the whole armor of God and ready to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy is there waiting for a weak moment, waiting to attack, attacking the military, attacking our schools, bringing in all of this craziness. Our kids are learning more about being social than they are reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
Our kids know more about the pride flag than the American flag. And if you were to show them a flag of the United States of America, I don't know what it is. That's sad. It's really sad, because you go to any other country, and those countries, their kids can recognize their flag and their American flag. Amen.
The enemy's main goal is to take our children. That's why I'm a huge advocate for homeschooling. People need to be pulling their kids from public school in mass droves.
I couldn't agree with you more. We had a guest on not too long ago, Moms for America, and mm-hmm. she said the exact same thing. And that's the reason why Joe Biden wants to extend pre-K to three-year-olds, so that they have access to them at a very early age, and then they can start indoctrinating them. And it's unfortunate, because a lot of families will hear this and they'll think, oh, wow, this is great. I won't have to pay for childcare and I can go to work. It's like, wait a minute, look at what they're saying. They're taking that responsibility from you and they're giving it to the government, so that you can't teach your kids your values. They want to teach the values that they want the kids to have.
Yes.
Indoctrination of our babies. So you homeschool your kids?
Yes, we've been homeschooling since long before COVID hit. So we were already prepared, and life didn't much change for us. In fact, in our area, our children were the only kids outside playing all last year, because I would be darned if I was going to be locked up in the house with five boys. So that's how our
own little
went.
Army.
Yes.
So for them, how are the kids now after this event took place? How are they now?
You know, one of my kids, he's 9, and he is an absolute warrior for Christ. He took the torch the moment he was born, and he was the one who was drenched in pepper gas. And he had a moment when we were trying to clean up after the event. We fled to a coffee shop, and he inadvertently touched his eye and went into a panic because his eye was burning and he didn't know what was going on. But he has recovered to that certain extent. My 7-year-old, on the other hand, he likely has PTSD now. He was in a state of shock after the event that I had to try and help him out of in the coffee shop. And since then, I have actually found homemade weapons that he has created, because he's trying to protect himself from Antifa. And
oh
these are
gosh.
The words from his own mouth that he's kept in his drawer and under his pillow.
That's
so it absolutely is. And he is the kindest child. I just, he's so sweet. And the fact that that is the result from that experience, because he actually witnessed, he watched with his eyes, my friend Julie protect his baby sister. So not only was he startled by the bombs that were going off so close to us, he actually witnessed his baby sister being saved. So it's like a lot of trauma happened in that very short period of time.
And have any of these individuals been arrested for the attack on you?
No, because they are dressed up in their Klan costumes and they can be they're unidentifiable. There's no way for the police. I did file a police report, but they say that they'll be laughed out of the courtroom because we can't identify them. And, you know, that is I've often asked, and I've been asking more boldly lately, what is Antifa's, if they think they're the savior, the vigilantes against white supremacy, what is their criteria? I want to know what they're going by, because when I look out at them, I see the Klan. I see the Klan that attacks minorities, Asians, Blacks, transgenders. And I don't agree with everybody's right. lifestyle, but I don't agree that people need to just be eradicated because of their lifestyle choices.
Right. Right.
That is not my job. You know, vengeance is the Lord. So this is an absolute Klan that refuses to be identified, attacks minorities and everybody, really. They attack everybody and then they get away with it. So something is seriously wrong with that. And our DA, Mike Schmidt, Ted Wheeler, the Portland Police Bureau, and I have always supported the police, but I know that they know who these people are. And even when they were arresting
Absolutely,
him and
they know.
DA
they know.
Mike Schmidt wouldn't prosecute, they could have taken it to the next step, taken it to the FBI. So I don't feel like there's an excuse or a justification mm-hmm. at any level.
Absolutely. They can very easily identify these thugs. They don't yeah. want to identify them. I mean, look at what our government is doing right now. Be on the lookout for white supremacists. We want to be able to find all these people so we could put them in jail. If the tables were turned, they would already be in jail. But they don't care. They don't care, unfortunately, because you don't ascribe to their belief system. This should not happen, and we need to get rid of Antifa. That's one of the things I wish President Trump had done, was to declare Antifa a terrorist organization as well as Black Lives Matter. If he has another chance, or when Republicans regain both houses and the presidency, they must move on this swiftly and designate that group as a hate group that needs to be locked up. There's no reason they should be running around in black costume, clown costumes, and creating havoc on the good citizens of America. Andrew, what do you say?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We see this from these left-wing mobs, Antifa, Black Lives Matter. Look what they were allowed to get away with throughout the summer of 2020. And then you see what happened with Ashley Babbitt on January 6th, completely different narrative from the media. Just because that she was a Republican. But these left-wing mobs are just ruining some of these these cities like Seattle, Portland. It's just so sad because they are such beautiful cities. Like you said earlier in the show, I was in Portland last year and went up to a forest park, and you go up that hill and you just see the entire city from up the mountain there in Portland. And it's just a mm-hmm. beautiful city and a stunning place to see. And it's so sad what's going on in downtown. Portland's also riddled with homelessness, and just it's turning into a disaster for voting for Democrat for so long.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's even more sad is Oregon is largely a red state. Portland runs our entire state blue, but people are red. Like, it's just so sad
right.
that yeah. Portland is such, it's the bottom of the swamp and it needs to be absolutely drained. And that's why, you know, the Lord has set the stones. He's laid the path. He's given me the boldness. And you asked what I would suggest or any advice I would give. And, you know, I'm just going to say, we need all of us across the states, because I've heard a lot of people have been messaging me with the same stories. We need the boldness. We need more people to be bold, to tell the story, to tell their testimony of what these people have done. Because I guarantee you, if I had gone in there and said, a Proud Boy just attacked me and my family, they would have gone to the full extent
absolutely
of resource to track him down and arrest him. But they are not doing the same for Antifa. It is complete bias. And these people are dangerous. And one of the reasons, one of the things that makes them so dangerous is that they are becoming more and more emboldened with every episode they act out in, and they get away with it. I mean, now, earlier when you said you never thought that this would happen. No, since my husband has been out there for so many years, I vet these events really well. I've become really good at it. I never thought on a Saturday morning, I mean, we all knew that the demons came out at night, but a Saturday morning never crossed my mind. But that is due to the fact that our leaders have emboldened them to feel comfortable and confident that they can come out on a Saturday morning at 11:30 and throw bombs and pepper gas at families and children and get away with it. And that's disturbing.
Yeah, well said. Thank you so much to our guest, Jamie Anatello. If people want to get in touch with you, what is the best spot they could do so?
Thank you. You can reach us at onamericanstreets.com. And that just, I mean, that gives you a place to find us and events that we're going to be at, or events that we're trying to curate events from all over the states into one place so that more people can start showing up. So it's onamericanstreets.com.
Amen. And thank you for all the hard work. And you guys are tuned in to After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
And we are back here on After Dark with Diego Martinez, who is a candidate for governor of California in the recent recall election of Gavin Newsom. And that was really disappointing how that entire election went down, in my opinion, on the final day. I think we have a big problem here in this country with voting. I think we've got to get people voting on the day of the election. This 2 months for people to vote is just far too long, in my opinion. There's just so many possibilities for fraud. I think I'll speak for myself and so many others listening. People do not have a lot of trust in the California election system. And you look at what's going on in California under Gavin Newsom. I mean, you've got, I believe, more homeless people in the state of California than the other 49 states combined, some of the highest taxes in the country, the highest gas prices in the country. Just the cost is out of control. You look at that and you say, how could people be happy with this? It just makes absolutely no sense to me how this guy did not get recalled. His reign of terror in California has been an absolute disaster. And quite frankly, I was shocked by the numbers. How about you, Rob?
I've got to say, I was shocked also. Here, California has had an opportunity to get rid of a repressive, oppressive governor, and they chose not to do it. From just looking at the numbers, Newsom blew this out by, I think, 70% to elders, 30%. And then the recall, the question was asked, did you want to recall them? It's like people didn't even want to do it. And we saw all these people coming up saying, yeah, we got to recall him because he shut us down. Do you guys want to live in this socialist repressive world? And what happened to Northern California? I mean, just looking at the maps, it seems as though some people didn't even vote. Or if you want to continue living in a cesspool of crime and filth, so be it. I'm tired. I'm done. This makes absolutely no sense at all. Andrew, what went wrong here?
I don't know, but hopefully our guest, candidate for governor of California, Diego Martinez, does have some answers for us. Diego, the floor is yours. You ran a great campaign. Congratulations on that. So many great patriots that ran trying to save the great state of California. But Diego, what are your thoughts on what went down on September 14th?
Well, first of all, guys, thank you for having me back on your show. It's an honor to be here with you guys again. What happened? It didn't happen on the 14th. That's the problem. We didn't have voters come out and vote. We didn't have the right message. We didn't have the support that the campaign needed to actually be able to pull forward. Our Republican Party put one man in front of everybody else instead of letting people know that we had a choice. So it became a Gavin Newsom versus Larry Elder show instead of a yes for the recall and here are your candidates that you get to pick from. That killed it because at one point I have a chart. We've been charting the recall. And on the 14th of August, the CRA endorsed Larry Elder. All of a sudden, everybody called him the front runner. He was the man. And you start seeing the numbers for the recall go up and the numbers for the yes on the recall go down. As his stories got out, it got worse. It became a Larry Elder versus Gavin Newsom. And that killed us because they started labeling Larry Elder like Donald Trump. They started chasing him. Not the guy I would have voted for either. So when you look at this, you got to ask yourself, we're going to pick the best of the worst or we're just not going to vote. A lot of people didn't go out and vote. A lot of people chose the devil that they know against one that they don't know. When a guy goes out there and says there's going to be no minimum wage, that scares the average person who works. Now, the employer's happy, but the average employee is not going to be. When you start talking about, I won't wear a mask. If they make you wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. If they won't let you in a restaurant, I won't go in the restaurant. When you start talking about, I'm going to get rid of mandates on vaccination, but if your local county wants to do it, well, I'm staying out of it. You're double talking. You're a libertarian trying to run as a Republican. Those are our mistakes. Gavin Newsom had backup. The whole Democratic Party came together from Sleepy Joe got out of the cellar. He got out of his ice cream parlor and came out and campaigned for Gavin Newsom. The vice president was out here. Pocahontas, when we were having our fires up north, she was sending smoke signals, no on the recall. And we had zero representation from the Republican Party. Every single one of the guys that are in the Republican Party that are in office today should be ashamed of themselves and they should be getting ready for a new job. They have no sense of huevos to come out here and actually stand up for the California people.
Diego, that's very interesting. You talked about that, how the polls changed a lot when Larry Elder entered the race. How infuriating and frustrating is that as someone like you who spent a lot of time in this recall and so many other candidates that put in time to be elected governor. And then you've got people actually accusing you guys of being the problem, saying, oh, if there weren't so many candidates running, maybe more people would have voted. But David Hernandez did a great job explaining to us that actually that was a good thing that the more candidates that ran, because people like you got more voters to the polls than what just Larry Elder could have done for sure. How frustrating is it to you that people are trying to blame the problem on the amount of candidates rather than the addition of Larry Elder, which seemed to shake up the race significantly?
The reality of it is the people who are voting any candidate should do their homework. They should actually know what a recall is. The more candidates, the more people we can pull to the yes vote. Bottom line is we did not do our job right and we lost this election. Everybody's going to claim voter fraud. Larry Elder, the night before, there was an article saying, I concede this is going to be voter fraud. It's not going to work. You're already talking about voter fraud. You're not running on issues. You're not running on. People don't want a crybaby. People don't want people who are going to sit here and complain and bitch of why we lost. We lost because we did not do a good enough job getting the message out there and getting away from our own little circles in our own little area. We stayed in our own backyard and we forgot about the neighborhood. Well, the neighborhood wasn't feeling what we were feeling.
Well, Diego, let me ask you this, because what you're saying, I've heard that quite a bit as far as having more people in the pool and people would have had a larger selection. Do you think that the Californians understood what they were doing when they went to the polls and they had two questions? Recall who you vote for, because I remember the last time you were on here and you emphasized and you stressed, you wanted the listeners to know you must vote for the recall. Do you think people understood?
No, I don't think we did a good enough job. Gavin Newsom, the Democratic Party, were on every national television station. They had enough people there and they were educating their people to put no on the recall. See, another one is misleading. No, we don't want this guy here. Oh, okay, I'll check no. Yes, what, I want this guy here? Misleading the way the question was. So we didn't do a good enough job. The Republican Party, the Independent Party, the Green Party, the California people that were for the recall did not do a good enough job getting the message out of yes on the recall, then vote for whoever you want. The problem was when you had Republicans attacking other Republicans that were running, you know, a day before the election. It's like, it's too late. Our name's already on the ballot. We spent a lot of money and a lot of time on this. It wouldn't have made a difference whether we were there or not. There wasn't enough yes votes to get Gavin Newsom out. That's where we failed. 66% of California said they wanted to keep Gavin Newsom. Is that coincidence? You got to ask yourself. We can say there's fraud and everybody's claiming fraud. We can't do anything about it till somebody gets in office. How do you do that? You lick your wounds, you get on your horse and you ride again and you stop bitching and complaining and looking at the past. So everybody's talking about Dominion and replacing Dominion. Well, that's great and dandy. You can't do anything till we get into office. It's a waste of breath to talk about it. California wants our state back. We have got to start with the root problem. And right now, the root problem is everybody who's in office. So grab a chair, grab a candidacy, and go after the seats that could be won. That's Republican, Democratic, it doesn't matter. This recall just showed us that there is zero support from the Republican Party. Jessica Patterson came on Fox News last night, and she was talking about how the whole Democratic Party got behind Gavin Newsom. Well, you're the chair of the GOP for California. Why didn't you ask for help? Why didn't you get somebody who was in office to come in and help us with the recall? That's what happened to California. You want to blame it on something? Let's start looking in the mirror and blaming each other, because that's where the problem started.
You know, and you would think that they would know this. You would think that the party would say, hey, here's a perfect opportunity for us to knock this guy down. But there was like, were they serious about it? Were they serious about going door to door and saying we can do it, as opposed to, well, he's going to win anyway because they outnumber Republicans 6-1. Who cares? Look at Democrats. They will go into these conservative areas, these Republican areas, and they will fight tooth and nail for the votes. The party establishments, the party elites have got to start doing the same thing, as opposed to thinking, oh, no, well, you know, it's a good, we might win, we might not win. You got to try. You got to be in it to win it with the candidates that they have. And then explaining to them clearly. I mean, I know that I spoke to folks from California. I knew more about the election than they did from just listening to you when you came on our show and you were emphasizing you have got to vote to recall. That is the first thing. You've got to vote for that. You've got to. And when the numbers came out, only 30%, I'm like, wait a minute. What about all those restaurant owners that were complaining that they had to shut down? What about all the parents that were complaining that their kids weren't in school? What about all those individuals that were complaining about the condition of the city, Los Angeles to San Francisco, and the drugs and the homelessness and having to walk through parks to get their kids to school? What happened to those people? Did they just all at once fall in love with Gavin? They could have easily said, let's vote to recall him. And then the other candidates, let's just pick a candidate because anything is better than this nitwit that we had. Now he thinks that he's in power. He's emboldened. that, oh, what I did here, I drove California into the sand. It's like no good anymore. Oh, people love that. Is that true? Shame on these people. Shame on the Democrat, the Republican Party for not standing up and seizing the moment, seeing an opportunity and saying we're going to go after it, as opposed to sitting on the sidelines and thinking, oh, well, we won't win anyway, but we got the recall. There's more to it than that. So, Diego, I don't blame you for being fired up, because this was a perfect opportunity. People had to fight to get the recall. And then once you got the vote and people were shocked that you got the vote, then to get people to the polls and explain it to them, this is what needs to happen. But the party elite, as always, they sit back and they squander an opportunity, as opposed to supporting Canada and saying, hey, we need help here. Who do we need to get out here to help us? Who do we need to push us through? They gave up. Quitters never win. You have to be in it to win it. You have to keep pushing. So, Diego, 2022, what do you think will happen? Will you run again?
We are going to run again. We learned a lot. This is my first race. We didn't know what to expect. We thought we were doing better than what we ended up at the polls. The reason is I messed up. I made a mistake. I thought, and I knew better. And that's the problem. When you know better and you still make the mistake, you kick yourself in the rear, but you can't make the same mistake twice. We know where we went wrong. We know what we need to do to make it better. Money, we got to have it. We have got to have money. That's the first mistake we made. We thought that we had enough to actually go through the recall and finish decent. We thought that we had the Hispanic vote, that we were able to reach them. We were, until the last week when they were threatening that they would get deported if any Republican made it to office. So I learned a lot. We're going to rerun. We're going to fix a lot of the problems that we have. We're going after money right now. We know that if we would have had the same money that Elder had, or the same money that Jenner, Kevin Faulkner, Cox, we could have finished a lot stronger than what we did, because we would have reached a bigger market. But we also learned one thing. My biggest mistake, I didn't take care of my backyard, because I figure everybody knew us, because this is a small town, because you figure everybody already knows you, knows that you're running. My biggest mistake, I spent money on signs and banners for other counties, and I didn't do it for my own or the one I work at. To the counties that I should have been able to win, hands down, I gave up because of my own foresight of there's more people in LA, there's more people here, there's more people there. I went everywhere but in my own backyard, and that was my mistake. The Hispanics, I need to go hit them harder. And not only hit them harder, but hit them on radio, on television, everywhere where they're at, they need to know who I am. And that I'm not the enemy, that I don't really care about party lines anymore, because you just saw what the Republican Party just did. And if people that are Republicans don't like me saying that, then get off your butts and come make a difference with me. But till then, please keep your mouth shut and stay where you're at, because you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. And sitting here and complaining about voter fraud isn't going to do anything. We're wasting time, and we don't have a lot of time. This year will go. March will be here before you blink of an eye. So if you really want to get strong, you got to get going on it now. There's a district that Kevin Kiley is assemblyman. Their election is November 2022. The primaries are in March. Do you know who's running for that seat? Nobody else does either. Because guess what? The Republican Party don't have anybody in their bullpens to actually fill in a vacancy. Nobody even knew that Kevin Kiley timed out in 2022. Kevin Kiley didn't say anything. That's a Republican trying to run for governor. You figure if you're trying to run for governor, you'd have another Republican trying to replace you so you can make your assembly strong.
And that's the problem. Therein lies the problem, that Republicans are not prepared. They see these seats that are open and they don't have candidates to fill those slots. They see that there are people that are getting ready to retire. They see that there are Democrats that are weak and they don't have candidates to fill those slots. They're not grooming people. Whereas the Democrats, they're grooming people. They're looking left and right. Whereas conservatives, they sit back and go, oh, well, we don't know about that candidate. Yeah, but if you don't have anyone else who's running, you need to support that candidate. You need to say, hey, let's give them a leg up. Let's put money behind them, as opposed to, well, let's just keep our pockets, our wallets closed because we're going to lose anyway. That's not a way to run an election. I don't care if it is a Democrat state or district. You still need to run candidates, because eventually those candidates will catch on. I look at New York City, the exact same thing. Predominantly Democrat. So Republicans will run a candidate, but they won't support the candidate financially. They'll just say, oh, okay, well, we'll give you some people that will help you get the votes out. You need money, folks. Wake up. So I agree with you on that. Not having a candidate ready to step in and take it to the next level, Diego.
Yeah, and we've seen that the Democrats had all bullets loaded into the chamber for this recall election. They had Barack Obama cutting ads all over television all week. The amount of money that Gavin Newsom and the Democrats put into getting Gavin Newsom back into office was significant. He even had Joe Biden come out and campaign for him. Personally, if I were Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden called me, I'd be looking at Joe Biden's polling numbers and say, thanks for the offer, but I think you can just stay home. I don't see how you would be any help for me. But Diego, what were your thoughts on that, the amount of effort that Gavin Newsom went when at first it seemed like he wasn't even taking this recall seriously?
$80 million is what the Democratic Party spent on radio, television ads. $80 million. They took it serious. Gavin Newsom outworked every single one of the 48 candidates running, and that's me included. He outworked all of us. He did his campaigning. He went out and won the election. Now, is there fraud? We don't know. Am I going to sit here and keep talking and crying about it? No. Will we audit? Nobody else is going to. So why would a guy like myself want to say, let's push an audit and have to pay for it when the people with the real money don't even care? That's a stupidity on my part to throw my money away on that and not concentrate on the new 2022 election. But the problem is this. You had 22 Republican candidates and you do not have one person to run for an assembly seat. We have a problem, folks. And the reason is that the people who ran are tired of the GOP and the Republican Party not supporting them. Grassroots candidates, unless you have a lot of money, you're not going to make it. That goes for myself. We're going to fundraise. And if we get to March and we see that we don't have enough money, we'll probably drop out at that point. But we're going to keep fighting as long as we can. But without money, we're not going to win. And that's the bottom line. We just had a recall race and they were not active. Shameful. Calaveras County, they weren't active. You know what it's like to try to go to two counties and the GOP isn't active? How can you get any help? How can you get any support? You know, and I don't want to sit here and cry because reality is this. These are the cards I got dealt with. This is what I'm going to get dealt with, and we're going to overcome it, and we're going to be successful. But quit blaming fraud, quit blaming Dominion, and start blaming ourselves for not going out there and doing this right. Blame the people that are at fault. Yes, Dominion might have had a part in it. People that said that they went to the election office and they had already voted. Demand for your new ballot. Tell them to cancel out your old one, demand for a new one. Make us think about it. Call the news. Make it go public. Don't let them come to you. You do it right there in front of the elections office. But no, everybody right. wants to talk about it afterwards.
I agree with you 100%. If the party knows that this is happening, the party needs to get on top of it and make certain that they have folks that are monitoring the polls when people go and vote. And make certain that it's legitimate and that you can prove it and say, this is what needs to happen. If you see that the Democrats are going to try and use this whole mail-in ballots to win election, then we need to go out and make certain that our folks are going to the polls to vote. Don't worry about who's going to steal it. You get there and you vote. You got to show folks that you're behind them and that you support them. Because talking about it all the time and then waiting until the 11th hour and saying, oh, well, we think that this is going to happen. Well, you knew that during the last election.
Yeah.
What are you doing to correct it?
As David Hernandez mentioned to us, I believe he said there were 9 million California residents that did not vote in the 2020 presidential election. So he said, if those people came out and actually voted, that would outdo any fraud that the Democrats could possibly come up with if people actually just went to the polls and voted.
So the party has got to get out there and start pushing this. We've got to do more than just talk about it. We've got to make certain that people are legitimately going out there and voting. We've got to make certain that we're reaching out to these individuals and make certain that we're telling them, vote for this candidate. This is who the candidate is. It takes money. We can't just think it's going to happen by osmosis. You got to have your name out there. I don't like money being into politics, but it's there. And while it's there, we have got to start committing to these other candidates to give them money so that they can help run a successful campaign. because otherwise we will not win. We can do our talking points and we can say how this isn't fair and we can say all these things, but we're not winning. We're not in a position to win. And as I've said before, elections have consequences. Even stolen elections have consequences. And if you want to change it, you have got to get out there and support these independent candidates that are willing to get in the trenches, that are willing to go and knock on the door, but they need the support of the party to help them out. They can't do it by themselves.
You know what the problem is? That we candidates that are running, we become the show for some of these central committee and their meetings. Oh, we're going to have a rally. We have this guy running for governor. And at no one point do they expect to endorse you or help you. Yet you can be their entertainment, basically. I had somebody who's running for Congress say, hey, I'm having an event. You want to come over here? Yeah, I'll be there. They put my name on the flyer. And then I found out that they were supporting Larry Elder. And the only reason I went to their event was because my name and my picture were already on the flyer. But when I got there, I said, next time that you want somebody to come and help you, why don't you have the candidate that you're endorsing come help you? Oh, wait, because you got to pay him X amount of dollars for him to show up. But don't do that to me. Don't have me come to your event when you're already showing everybody you're supporting a different candidate. And that happens a lot in the Republican Party. They don't care.
Yeah. Diego, you mentioned that you plan on getting back onto the horse and getting after it for the next election coming up right around the corner here. For all of our listeners, what's the best place they could go to support you?
DiegoMartinezForGovernor.com. That's my website. Take a good look at it. All my policies are there. I told somebody this before. I don't change no matter what party people think you're with. This is who I am. My policies stand straight. I have Waking Up California every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. in English, at 8:30 in Spanish. And I invite everybody, both sides, both parties, to come and join, because we can't fix California if we don't come together. We're going to see that this next year. Buckle up. Hold on to your seatbelts, because this is going to be a bumpy ride till March and November of 2022. If you think it was bad then, imagine what it's going to be like now with Gavin Newsom back in control, feeling like he's God.
Yeah, thank you so much, Diego Martinez, candidate for governor of California, for joining us once again and offering up his time. We appreciate you coming on. But to all of our listeners, if you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for self-health. Our cells determine how we feel, perform, and how long we live. That's why Rob and I are taking Healthy Cell. You can go to healthycell.com and save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. Rob and I are both taking the Focus and Recall and Immune Super Boost, and we like both. So that's what we would recommend you pick up. But they have so many other great products there at Healthy Cell, like even vegan products for if you're into that sort of thing. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. Just celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.